Hi, this is Regina, and I am sitting alone on my purple sofa in my office. And from this spot today, I am going to record the first two episodes of a mini-series that I'm offering in the sanctuary this fall. And I'm calling the mini-series Awakening at Home. And this is really a shorter version of what I taught at the Awakening Together Fall Retreat this year. When I'm at the retreat, I'm able to use a flip chart to kind of show people where I'm at, where I'm going, where I've been, and where I'm at again in the discussion. And here in this audio format, I don't have that ability to use a flip chart. So what I might do is occasionally ask you to write something down so that you can kind of create your own little flip chart to refer back to, because I think visuals are very, very helpful. So what you might want to do is go and grab a pen and paper if you don't have one. And while you're doing that, I'll play one of my favorite songs as an opening song and as a prayer. This is a John Lennon song, but it's sang here by someone named Sushila Raman. Or Raman, maybe. Sushila Raman. And the name of the song is Oh My Love.
For the first time in my life, my eyes are wide open. Oh, my love, for the first time in my life, my eyes can see. I see the wind. Oh, I see the trees. Everything is clear in my heart. I see the clouds. Oh, I see the sky. Everything is clear in our world. Oh, for the first time in my life, my mind is wide open. Oh, my love, for the first time in my life, my mind can feel. I feel life. Oh, I feel love. Everything is clear in my heart. I feel sorrow. Oh, I feel dreams. Everything is clear in our first time in my life, my eyes are wide open. Oh, my love, for the first for the first time in my life. My eyes can see.
And again, I'm sitting here on my purple sofa, which means I don't have the speakers that I usually have, so hopefully the sound quality there was okay. And hopefully you grabbed that piece of paper and pen. You're ready to create your own flip chart. So, as I mentioned, I would love for you all to write some things down. And in fact, I will be referring back to this during all 5 weeks of this miniseries. So when you come to the miniseries, you can bring this next homemade flip chart with you. Again, the name of this miniseries is Awakening at Home. And what I hope to do in this 5 weeks is teach 8 awakening skills. So that's what you're going to write down are those 8 awakening skills. So the first one, which we're going to focus on tonight, number 1, spiritual aspiration. And then number 2, contemplation. Number 3, inquiry and noticing. Inquiry and noticing. Number 4, letting go and relaxing. Letting go and relaxing. Number 5, meditation and self-inquiry. Meditation and self-inquiry. Number 6, prayer, comma, devotion. Prayer, comma, devotion. Number 7, surrender and acceptance. Surrender and acceptance. And number 8, surrender and listening. Surrender and listening. So let me just go over the list again so you can, you know, make sure you didn't miss anything. Again, I call this Awakening at Home. It's number 1, spiritual aspiration. Number 2, contemplation. Number 3, inquiry and noticing. Number 4, letting go and relaxing. Number 5, meditation and self-inquiry. Number 6, prayer, devotion. Number 7, number 8, surrender and listening. So as I mentioned tonight, what I'm going to focus on is spiritual aspiration. And I am going to be using a free ebook by Adyashanti in order to talk about spiritual aspiration. And the name of the free ebook is The Way of Liberation. The Way of Liberation by Adyashanti. It's a good book if you want to get it. It's short, it's clear. And in chapter one of The Way of Liberation, Adyashanti teaches what he calls the five foundations. And his first foundation is called Clarify Your Aspiration. And that's what I'm going to focus on tonight. That's number one also on my list. One thing I want to say about my list is number one, which we're going to go over tonight, spiritual aspiration, that does come first, which of course is why it's number one. But number two through eight are in no particular order. They happen when they need to happen on your spiritual path and throughout your day. So in that way, you could say they're simultaneous. You know, if something is coming up for you, if you are upset, then maybe you need to do the inquiry and noticing. And then, later in the day, maybe a situation will arise and you'll notice you need to practice surrender and listening in order to know what to do, how to respond. So those things just come up when they come up. But number one, spiritual aspiration is always number one. And when I say always number one, I also want to say I don't mean first in time, like on, November 13th, 2016, you're going to practice spiritual aspiration, and then after that, you will practice the other seven. What I mean is, in every moment, spiritual aspiration is number one. That spiritual aspiration is the most important part of this entire process, and it always needs to be first. So spiritual aspiration is number one, and all of the others come up when they come up, when they're useful to you in your path of awakening. So let me start reading from Clarify Your Aspiration by Adyashanti. To clarify your aspiration means knowing exactly what it is that your spiritual life aspires to. To clarify your aspiration means knowing exactly what it is that your spiritual life aspires to. Not as a future goal, but in each moment. Not as a future goal, but in each moment. And I really want to talk about that first. When I consciously started this spiritual path, as many of you know, I was inspired by Peace Pilgrim. And when I read her book, work in her own work, was there were many circumstances that were, you could even call them dangerous circumstances, like the time the man offered her a place to sleep in his car, but his intention was to, rape her. Or when there was another man that showed up with the intention of beating a little girl. Or when another young man, while hiking with Peace Pilgrim, started beating on her. Dangerous types of situations. And what Peace Pilgrim would do in each of these situations is respond with innocence and love. In fact, maybe even respond isn't the right word. She would be the presence of innocence and love. And through being the presence of innocence and love, the situation, what it was going to be, the track that it was going down, it changed. The man who had the intention of raping her said he couldn't touch her because of her innocence. The man who was going to beat the little girl just looked at Peace as she looked at him with love and then turned around and walked away. Didn't say a word, didn't do a thing. The young man who was beating her while hiking stopped and never hit another person again, even though he had been violent toward his mother, I think, many times. And as I read Peace Pilgrim's book, what I became aware of is, and remember, this was like almost prior to my spiritual path. This is what started me on the spiritual path. So spiritually, I was ignorant. But what was apparent to me, in spite of my ignorance, was that she knew love as a power. I knew it as an emotion. She knew love as a power. and she knew it as the only real power in the world. And that inspired me to want to know and be love. Know and be love. But I expected to achieve that goal in about 25 years. My interpretation of reading her book was it took her 15 years. I assumed that she was in somehow sharper than me. So if it took her 15 years, it would probably take me 25 years. So I had a spiritual aspiration to, the way I worded it was, be only love. First I needed to know it and then become it, I thought. So I had a spiritual aspiration to be only love, but it was a future goal, and I was going to work towards it like you work towards any goal. And what Adya Shanti is saying here is to clarify your aspiration not as a future goal, but in each moment. And remember I said a few moments ago that it needs to be number one in every moment, that it's the most important thing. So the real purpose of a spiritual aspiration is discernment. Discernment in this moment for you. Or, of course, in my case, for me. So if my spiritual aspiration is to be only love, and I'm using it appropriately, then what that means is, you know, someone comes into my room, someone from my family, comes into my room and begins accusing me of something. And maybe I feel this little defensiveness starting to arise in me. What I can very quickly do is, you know, ask myself, or just remind myself, actually, that I want to be only love. And when I remind myself that I want to be only love, I also very spontaneously, very quickly remember that reacting from defensiveness is not love. And it enables me to overcome the temptation of acting from defensiveness and instead start listening to my family member with compassion and curiosity to try and hear what they're really saying. You see, my spiritual aspiration becomes a means of discernment right now. And in fact, even though my umbrella spiritual aspiration was to be only love, when I was going through the first 5 years of my spiritual path and all of these false beliefs were coming up and all of these triggers were being triggered and you know, emotionally it was a difficult time, I actually found another spiritual aspiration arose during that time that was extremely helpful to me for discernment in each and every moment. And that spiritual aspiration was to want only healing, healing of my mind, to want only healing. And so, you know, when I was with Laurent, and Laurent would start telling me how ugly I was in his perception. And again, just to say something about him, he wasn't really trying to be mean, although some of you interpret that as sounding mean, I know. He wasn't really trying to be mean. He was trying to share his pain. It was painful for him to see me as ugly because he judged himself then as being a horrible person for having that perception. So he was trying to share his pain with me. But as he's sharing his pain with me, he's telling me how ugly I am. And remember, I was not enlightened. And so what I would start to feel was overwhelmingly ugly, overwhelmingly unworthy. And what would arise in me to help me start discerning and looking from within myself while this was occurring was that I just wanted to heal. And so instead of going deep into believing how ugly I am, how unworthy I am, I began to learn, rest, accept, and trust. And I began to rest my mind, my own thoughts about my ugliness and my unworthiness. accept this feeling of ugliness and unworthiness, and trust that this entire situation was helping me to heal. That skill of rest, accept, and trust arose spontaneously because of my spiritual aspiration of wanting to use everything for healing, wanting only to heal. And this is why I say a spiritual aspiration needs to come first. Because if the spiritual aspiration is first, the spiritual aspiration will give you everything else you need in order to achieve that aspiration. So again, in my story, when the difficult time arose, I'm being told how ugly I am, and this unworthiness is really rising up in a strong way, but I'm saying, I just want to use this to heal. That's my spiritual aspiration. What naturally arose in me from out of nowhere was the teaching of rest, accept, and trust. The spiritual aspiration brought the tool that was needed in the moment. That's why the spiritual aspiration is not a future goal, like in 25 years, I will be only love. The spiritual aspiration is in each moment. In fact, let me share something with you out of NTI. Now, NTI does not use the word or the term spiritual aspiration. That's actually Adyashanti's term, and I've kind of adopted it, you know, because I kind of like it. But prior to Adyashanti, the two terms that I used to really capture the same essence was first willingness, and then that willingness grew into what I would call true desire. So willingness, true desire, and spiritual aspiration are synonymous for this thing we're talking about, this guiding purpose, this guiding purpose. So this is what NTI says on page 335 about this guiding purpose, but it calls it willingness. Focus on your willingness as if it is your truth. Because it is. Focus on your willingness as if it holds the answer to all questions. Because it does. Focus on your willingness as if it is everything to everyone. Because it is. Focus on your own willingness. That is love alive within the world. So NTI is saying that if you really focus on your guiding purpose, I'll call it now, your spiritual aspiration, your willingness, your true desire, if you make it number one in this moment, always, first of all, you're in touch with your truth, or you could call it your true self. This keeps you connected to your true self. It can answer any question you have, which is why it provided me with the rest, accept, and trust. And it's everything to everyone, because your healing is everything to everyone. So staying in touch with your guiding purpose, your spiritual aspiration, is everything to everyone. So NTI Galatians is really showing us just how important this spiritual aspiration is. And Adyashanti is saying the same thing. In fact, like me, Adyashanti put it number one of his five foundations. Now let me share a little bit more with you. This time I'm going to share from The Most Direct Means to Eternal Bliss by Michael Langford. And I'm sharing from chapter 4. Now, Michael Langford calls this, Adyashanti calls it spiritual aspiration. NTI calls it willingness or true desire. I just now came up with the word guiding purpose, which I think is another great word. I might shift to that one in the future. Who knows? But Michael Langford calls it the desire for liberation. In fact, he calls it the intense desire for freedom or the intense desire for liberation. But we're talking about the same thing, even though we're using different words. And listen to what Michael Langford says about the desire for liberation in chapter 4 of The Most Direct Means to Eternal Bliss. He says, of all the factors that determine if you will or will not be free is the intensity or lack of intensity of your desire for liberation is the most essential factor. Again, of all the factors that determine if you will or will not be free, the intensity or lack of intensity of your desire for liberation is the most essential factor. So as I said, it needs to be number one, always, now, right? He calls it the most essential factor. He says, all obstacles that appear in your journey to freedom are caused by too little desire for freedom. Even a little increase in your desire for freedom is helpful. As your desire for freedom grows in intensity, the ego creates fewer obstacles. When your desire for freedom becomes very intense, your desire for freedom demands that you take no detours. When the desire for freedom becomes even stronger, the desire for freedom itself will bring you everything you need to succeed in your quest for liberation, including the answer to all your questions, the direct path teachings, the solution to all obstacles, the motivation to practice, etc. So that's the same thing that NTI says, right? NTI says it's going to answer all of your questions. You know, it is your connection to truth. Michael Langford continues, when the desire for freedom becomes even more intense, the ego will no longer create ego preservation strategies. The extremely intense desire for the direct experience of the absolute truth will guide you to your inner teacher. The extremely intense desire for truth will guide you to the practice that gives you the direct experience of eternal life. Right? So this is why Adya Shanti, Regina Don Akers, NTI, and many, many other teachers teach that this spiritual aspiration or this guiding purpose needs to be first in this current moment, always now. Let me return to Adya Shanti's book, The Way of Liberation. All right, so continuing to read under Clarify Your Aspiration. This is on page 17 of The Way of Liberation. To clarify your aspiration means knowing exactly what it is that your spiritual life aspires to, not as a future goal, but in each moment. In other words, what do you value most in your life? And I would call this in your spiritual life. Not in the sense of moral values, but in the sense of what is most important to you. Contemplate this question. Do not assume that you know what your highest aspiration is, or even what is most important to you. Dig deep within. Contemplate and meditate on what the spiritual quest is about for you. Don't let anyone else define your aspiration for you. Look within until you find, with complete clarity, what you aspire to. And when we were at the Awakening Together Fall Retreat, I taught this on Sunday night. This was the opening of my 4 or 5 day retreat, whatever the length was. This was the opening. And what I asked people to do between the end of the session on Sunday night and the beginning of the session on Monday morning was to contemplate and really to ask within. Because remember, he says, do not assume that you even know. So this can't come from the thinking mind. And if you think about it, how could the thinking mind know how to lead you to awakening? This has to come from the heart or the soul or the inner teacher or the spiritual intuition, not the thinking mind. It's not what the mind thinks you want from the spiritual path. right? It has to come from a different place. And that's why he says, meditate on it, contemplate it, dig deep within. So what I did at the retreat was I asked people to do this between the end of the session Sunday night and the beginning of the session Monday morning, and to see if something came to them as their spiritual aspiration. And then I chose to follow my own assignment. You know, I mean, I've had this general guiding principle, I'm going to call it, this general guiding principle to be only love, which later I think I worded as really just to awaken or to know the truth. I think that's really the way this be only love has kind of translated in my mind, is to know only truth. Be only love, know only truth are really the same. But I remembered that during the first 5 years of my spiritual path, even though I had the goal of being only love, that what kind of spontaneously arose was this other goal of healing. I just want healing. And during that 5 years when all of this emotional stuff was coming up, I just want healing was an extremely useful spiritual aspiration. And I realized that I haven't really gone in and asked since the ending of that 5-year purification phase. I haven't really gone in and asked, what's my spiritual aspiration now? And because there's so much peace and joy in my life that I want only healing thought is not as much of a driving motivation for me now as it was then. And I realize that maybe what I need now is another motivator. And so I asked within for a new spiritual aspiration. And before I tell the rest of the story, you know, like Paul Harvey would, I think what I want to do is go back and read a little more from Adyashanti here. So I'm going to go to the second paragraph. He says, the importance of this first foundation, which is clarify your aspiration, cannot be overemphasized, because life unfolds along the lines of what you value most. Again, the importance of this first foundation cannot be overemphasized, because life unfolds along the lines of what you value most. And again, we just saw that in Michael Langford's book, The Most Direct Means to Eternal Bliss, when he said, your desire for freedom itself will bring you everything you need to succeed in your quest, including the answer to all of your questions, the direct path teachings, the solution to all obstacles, the motivation to practice. It will guide you to your inner teacher, and even the ego itself will become weaker and create less and less ego preservation strategies. Plus, any ego preservation strategies that are there, you will be able to start seeing through them. So, again, I'm going to call it the right spiritual aspiration, which is the one that comes to you from that spiritual intuition, not that thinking mind. That right spiritual aspiration has a lot of power. And this is why Adyashanti is asking us to be very serious about going within in a contemplative, meditative way and asking for the best spiritual aspiration for me now to be revealed to me. So again, Adyashanti says, the importance of this first foundation cannot be overemphasized, because life unfolds along the lines of what you value most. Now listen to this. Very few people have truth or reality as deep values. They may think that they value truth, but their actions do not bear this out. Generally, most people have competing and conflicting values, which manifest as both internal and external conflict. So just because you think something is your deepest value does not mean that it actually is. By deeply contemplating and clarifying what you value and aspire to, you become more unified, clear, and certain of your direction. So again, if the thinking mind is saying, all I really want is truth, but it's coming from the thinking mind and it's a surface value, what it's hiding are other conflicting values right underneath it, like what I really want is my husband to act in a certain way, and what I really want is for my children to live their lives in a certain way, and what I really want is enough money so that I never have to worry about money between now and my physical death, right? So any mental spiritual aspiration is really just covering up these conflicting values. But that's all at the level of mind. And the level of mind, although it can be very strong, the level of mind is shallow. The level of soul, or the level of heart, or the level of truth, whatever you want to call it, is much more meaningful. It has a lot more depth to it. And in fact, it has the power to knock shallow desires out of the park. Just have them completely disappear. So, for example, if I go deep within and I find that what my soul is crying for right now is to uncover and let go of every attachment. That can be a spiritual aspiration. So I find that what my soul is seeking is to uncover and let go of every attachment. That is my current spiritual aspiration. That is my job in this life right now. And I really get an internal confirmation that that's it. Then what I can do is use that spiritual aspiration in the moment when these conflicting values show up. So for example, maybe one of my conflicting values is that I want my adult children to live their life in a specific way. You know, have good jobs, have good marriages, be happy, right? But they're not doing that. One is an alcoholic. The other one is constantly having affairs, and it's really causing problems in the marriage. They both have family problems. They're both unhappy. Their children, my grandchildren, are showing signs of the stress. And here I come. Here I come into my children's life, trying to take control, trying to tell them what to do. There's fighting and shouting going on, lots of conflict. If I go within with my guiding principle to uncover and let go of all attachments, I will find that that will outshine, because that spiritual aspiration has more depth, more truth to it. It will outshine my personal desire for my children to live their life in a certain way. I will begin to notice that I have an attachment to how I want them to live their lives. And my spiritual aspiration will remind me that my job now is to uncover and let go of every attachment. And although this may be a challenging step for me, within that spiritual aspiration, I will find the ability to let go of my attachment to my children living their life in a certain way. And any tools I need will arise, whether they're inquiry questions, things like rest, accept, and trust, certain teachings I need to happen to hear. Everything I need to help me with this purpose will arise so that I can release my attachment to how my children live their lives. So although there may be mental goals, even some very strong mental goals, the spiritual aspiration has more depth. And the spiritual aspiration always points in one direction, and that is the direction of truth. I call it my true north, because if I'm about to stray in the direction of some other goal, some other value, remembering my spiritual aspiration always brings me back to the straight and narrow path that walks towards awakening. And it brings me back right now. So, instead of thinking you know what your spiritual aspiration is, you really need to ask within, ask the inner teacher, ask the soul, ask the heart, ask God, ask Jesus, and let that spiritual aspiration that is most helpful to you now, that can be your guiding purpose in every moment, in every conflict, in every challenge, that guiding purpose that can give you every answer that you need in every moment, let it be given to you from that which knows what is most helpful for you now. Don't go with the mental idea of what you think you want, because it will be just as shallow and it will cover up all of these conflicting purposes. Adyashanti continues, as your realization and spiritual maturity deepen, you will find that some aspects of your aspiration remain steadfast, while others evolve to reflect what is relevant to your current level of insight. Let me read that again. As your realization and spiritual maturity deepen, you will find that some aspects of your aspiration remain steadfast, while others evolve to reflect what is relevant to your current level of insight. And so in my story, I told you that what arose for me during those first 5 years was to want only healing. And that was very relevant to my current level of insight or spiritual growth at the time. But I also told you it's not as motivating now, because now I am mostly happy, clear, peaceful, observant rather than participatory in life. There are still little things that show up, and I immediately jump to, okay, I just want to heal this. But it's not a major motivator in my life. So it was this paragraph that made me realize that my realization and spiritual maturity have deepened, and therefore I need to ask within again, what's the best spiritual aspiration for me now? Adyashanti says, by reflecting on and clarifying the issues relevant to your current level of understanding, you stay focused. I love this. You stay focused on the cutting edge of your own unfolding. By reflecting on and clarifying the issues relevant to your current level of understanding, you stay focused on the cutting edge of your own unfolding. So, if I want only healing now is very motivating to me for 5 years, but then it isn't as motivating and I don't go back in and renew my spiritual aspiration, I could begin to lag a little bit. I won't be on that cutting edge of my own awakening because I don't have that motivating force that a currently applicable spiritual aspiration provides. And during my own teaching at the Awakening Together Fall Retreat, I realized, oh my goodness, I need to go in and I need to ask for what my spiritual aspiration is. Now, let me tell you a little story. Immediately following my Sunday night teaching, Jacqueline and I went back to my room and we were just chatting. So this just chatting, as you know, is not deep contemplation, deep meditation, deep asking within. This is surface talk, which means we were at the level of mind. So Jacqueline and I go back to my room and we're chatting. And I say to her that I realized I need to renew my spiritual aspiration. I say, I don't know what it is. And then I say, you know, maybe what I want to do is just become more aware of awareness. And that sounded good. It sounds good. But that was the mind. And if I had stopped there, I would have walked out with the spiritual aspiration that was not most motivating to me. Even though it sounds good, and even though I would like to be more aware of awareness, it wasn't it. It wasn't what the soul or the heart or the inner teacher would give me. It's what the mind wanted to give me. The next morning, I went into about an hour of deep contemplation. I was doing some reading. I often read when contemplating, a very light, slow reading. I'll teach about that next week when we get to contemplation. But I was doing a light, slow reading, doing some journaling. And what came up in my journaling, and I recognized it from within the moment it was written, was my new spiritual aspiration. And it's something my thinking mind never would have thought of. My new spiritual aspiration is forget everything. Be the spontaneous moment and nothing else. Forget everything. Be the spontaneous moment and nothing else. How do I know that's my new current spiritual aspiration? First of all, just how I feel when I say it. It has that motivating factor. And I don't know what those words mean to anyone else, but I know exactly what those words mean to me. Let's say I think I made a mistake yesterday. I think that in a meeting, there was a moment where I became kind of frustrated with the people I was in the meeting with. And I wanted them to think differently, see differently than they were. And that's a mistake, to want someone else to be different. Now, I quickly caught myself and I changed my position immediately and began asking questions to try and understand them better. But today when I woke up, that thought was there, because you know how the ego whispers in your ear. That thought was there that somehow, you know, the ego doesn't actually whisper words all the time. So sometimes you have to put words to it. It's more like a feeling. Sometimes the ego is a feeling more than words, right? So the feeling would be something like, there you are. You screwed up again. You're not this perfect spiritual person. You guys know that feeling? There you are. You screwed up again. Well, what the ego would want me to do is to hold on to that thought, that feeling, that, you know, I'm a loser thing. The spiritual aspiration, though, jumps right in and says, forget everything. Now, in that forget everything, there's actually no denial. Not for me, not at this stage. In that forget everything, there is a release of the past, a non-holding on, a free and open and honest release of the past, and a bringing myself right back into this present moment right now where perfect guidance awaits. Forget everything. Be the spontaneous moment and nothing else. somehow that spiritual aspiration keeps me grounded in the current moment's spiritual intuition, the current moment right mind, the current moment right vision, and it's letting everything else be very quickly and very easily washed away. There's no denial in it. There's no repression in it. Probably because I'm at the level of maturity where I am ready to fully understand this aspiration. All judgments are forgotten almost as quickly as they are seen. They're meaningless. They're wisps of air. They disappear. They're nothing. They're not something and repressed. They're nothing. I was listening to Gangaji a while ago on Awakening Together radio. And she is talking about how what we are holds on to nothing. And she says, not even this moment. Don't even try to hold on to this moment. I understood that. That's what this aspiration is about. It's being that open space that everything moves through, but staying very much the open space, not returning to the human that would hold on to anything. The person, the mind. Not being that, instead being this openness and letting everything else come and go. This spiritual aspiration, I know, can take me to whatever that next step is for me. And I'm not trying to sell my spiritual aspiration so that you will adopt my spiritual aspiration. Please don't do that. I'm just trying to say, I know this is my spiritual aspiration now. I'm really grateful I went into that contemplation, that digging deep like Adya Shanti recommended and got my current spiritual aspiration because I know this is going to be helpful to me. Therefore, I'm recommending that you go within and find yours. What spiritual aspiration can be motivating and helpful to you now? Also, I will tell you that the ego will want you to forget your spiritual aspiration. Even if you recognize it, you know, everything in you says, yes, that's it. The ego will want you to look away and forget. So one thing you can do is write it down. But also, NTI has another recommendation. This recommendation comes from Luke chapter 4, if I remember correctly. Maybe it's Luke chapter 2. Let me find it. Yeah, Luke chapter 2, page 127. And remember that one of the words for spiritual aspiration or guiding purpose in NTI is willingness. And it says, willingness has been born in the mind. I'll call it in the heart. It's not talking about the mental mind. It's talking about the joined one consciousness mind, right? Willingness has been born in the mind. This willingness promises all of the glory of heaven. For this willingness is the Savior, the Christ, and it is within your heart. Do not worry how this willingness will grow to become the glory it promises to be. Rest instead with the thought of the promise and be grateful. It is through your love and gratitude. It is through your love and gratitude. It is through your love and gratitude that this babe is nursed. Its growth is inevitable, so do not worry about it. Love it in your heart and be happy there. This is really saying that if we first, let our spiritual aspiration be revealed to us. And then second, be grateful for it, love it, contemplate it, right? That it'll actually grow. The ego wants us to forget it. But loving it, contemplating it, being grateful for it in a very conscious way allows it to grow so that it becomes this overriding guiding purpose that Michael Langford speaks about, which will bring the answer to all questions, connect us with the inner teacher, help us to see through ego preservation strategies, and even the ego preservation strategies begin to die away, and gives us the motivation to practice and guides us to the best teachings. It becomes this overarching value that goes before us and sets straight the path, right? Through our gratitude and our love, through our appreciation for it being revealed to us. So that means I love, forget everything, be the spontaneous moment and nothing more. I love it, I contemplate it, I carry it in my heart like a precious stone, and I listen to it. I willingly forget everything, and I be this present moment and nothing more. Like even at the beginning of this recording, some ego thought came in about how unprofessional I am. You know, so many spiritual teachers nowadays have all this great equipment. They even have, you know, people, staff who are there recording them when they teach. I'm sitting here in my pajamas with my teeth not yet brushed on my purple soba, not even hooked up to my halfway decent speakers over there. And this thought came in, oh, you're so unprofessional. And immediately the next thought, forget. Forget that thought. Just be the spontaneous moment and nothing more. And this spontaneous moment is sitting on the purple sofa, in pajamas with teeth not yet brushed, speaking spontaneously about the importance of spiritual aspiration, not the importance of, quote, professionalism, or the importance of, I don't know, appearance. This is a very private matter, spiritual aspiration, and a very important matter, spiritual aspiration. So maybe pajamas are the best way to provide the message. But I'm not going to hold on to that thought either. Because if I hold on to that thought, somehow now in my pajamas with my teeth unbrushed, I am better than the teachers who have to be all professional with the right equipment, right? Who have the staff. They're in the ego. I'm the humble one in my pajamas with my teeth unbrushed. No, forget everything. Forget everything. As soon as it comes, let it go, like Gangaji was saying in her teaching just before I came here. Forget everything. Be the spontaneous moment and nothing more. That's a letting go, letting go, letting go, letting go all the time of everything. And you know what I also felt when I heard my spiritual aspiration is I can do that. I am at the spiritual maturity where I am ready to let go of everything. I can do that. I recognized that this was the perfect spiritual aspiration for me now. So do not copy my spiritual aspiration. Copy my method of finding my spiritual aspiration, which was go within, dig deep, be in contemplation. And when it comes and you recognize it, then love it. Have gratitude for it. Let it grow. Let it be that guiding principle. And I notice that I am out of time. So next week, there will be another recording because I will be in an Awakening Together board member meeting. But bring your little flip chart with you. We covered spiritual aspiration today. You will have another recording that will go into contemplation and inquiry and noticing next week. All right. Thanks for listening. Bye.